Good morning. This is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, August the 22nd. Tentative school budget surveyed at board meeting. This is Gordon Woods writing for the Clinton Journal. Superintendent of Schools Drew Goble gave a brief overview of the district's tentative budget during Tuesday's school board meeting. This is a tentative budget, so next meeting we will have a final budget, Goble said. So, what I do throughout starting from June and July and leading up into the new fiscal year, I'm crunching numbers. Goble said at this stage he knew the teacher's salaries and benefits, but items such as transportation and operations and maintenance do not yet have exact numbers. So that's why we call this a tentative budget, he said. When we had the financial meeting last week, this is really what the finance committee looked at, Goble said. Very similar. Goble highlighted fiscal year 2025-26 local revenues from the district's tax levy for board members. He said that the high equalized assessed valuation resulting from the Clinton Power Station was the driver of local taxes and the primary funder of the school district through its levy. Other towns might rely more on evidence-based funding, Goble said. Evidence-based funding is a formula used in Illinois designed to ensure K-12 state schools' education funding is more equitably distributed across the state school district. He said some districts might receive more corporate personal property replacement tax funding. The district's total levy in fiscal year 2025 was $20.6 million for 2026, $22.6 million up about $2 million, Goble reported. The fund that we need the most money is in the education fund because we're in the education business, he said. He said the education fund would see an increase of about $900,000 through the levy. Goble also explained that fluctuations in the levy would result from variations in the EAV are out of the district's control because they are based on changes in property values. The district's average tax rate over the past 10 years has been about 3.55%, Goble said, making Clinton's one of the lowest tax rates of any school district in the area. There are a lot of school districts that are 5%, even pushing 6%. Rookie K-9 puts on demonstrations at Warner Library during Cops and K-9s by Gordon Woods. On Monday, guests who attended the Cops and Canines program at Warner Library got to see firsthand Clinton Police Department's new K-9 in action. Sergeant Jake Jose with the Clinton Police Department and his K-9 partner, Rooster, showed a little about what he and his partner do and educated visitors about some of the aspects of being a K-9 handler. He, Rooster, is 7 months old, Jost said. He's 3 years into his job. We just finished his training August the 7th. Rooster replaced Charlie, who recently retired from service. Jost has been with the Clinton Police Department for 9 years, 8 as a canine handler. Jost said Rooster, a black Labrador retriever, was obtained from a breeder in Chicago. We went through 160 hours of initial training before he could take the state test, Joe said. Rooster had to pass the test with 100% accuracy. His primary function is narcotics detection on traffic stops, Joe said. So any traffic stop we have, we can use a canine to sniff the car if we believe there might be illegal contraband. Rooster is trained to locate heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamines. He also is trained in article searches, locating possible evidence by human scent on discarded items. If it has a fresh human odor, he will lay down and let me know he has found something, and then we collect it and tag it as evidence. Rooster lives with Jose when they are off duty. He has a kennel and an insulated doghouse for cold weather. He has a little dog heater in it, Joe said. If it gets terribly cold or hot, he does come inside. Jost and Rooster worked together on the night shift. The two performed a demonstration with a set of upside-down 5-gallon buckets. Rooster located an item hidden inside one of the buckets. When he finds it, he will sit or fall and give me some indication that he smells an odor, Jost said before the demonstration. Rooster's reward for finding the item was a toy he currently likes to play with. The demonstration later moved outdoors where Rooster demonstrated some more of his searching abilities, and Jost answered more questions from people who attended the program. And now for obituaries. Rosemary Louise Murphy, Downs, Illinois. Rosemary Louise Murphy of Downs passed away peacefully on August the 5th, 2025. At the age of 93, surrounded by the family she loved. In keeping with Rosemary's wishes, a private memorial and interment will be held for the immediate family. Bruce A. Mandrell, 63, of Clinton, passed away at 8:37 p.m. on August 16, 2025, at his family residence in Clinton. No services are planned at this time. The family has entrusted Calvert Funeral Home of Clinton with cremation rites. Kornman celebrates 60 years of marriage. Clinton, the family of Mr. and Mrs. Dana and Paula Kornman, announced the couple's 60th wedding anniversary, which was on Wednesday, August the 20th, 2025. The Kornmans were married in Agency, Missouri in 1965. They lived in St. Joseph, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, and Godfrey, Illinois before moving to Clinton in 1976. Dana worked as a construction engineer, director of plant engineering, and supervisor of special projects for Illinois Power Company, Exelon, at the nuclear power plant from 1976 until his retirement in 2000. He then worked for Gordsky Rifsek Architects and then Ameren until 2015. Paula worked at home raising their children and later provided daycare for her grandchildren and several other families for many years. Dana has also served on several committees in the community, and the couple has been active members of the First Christian Church since moving to Clinton. Dana and Paula are the parents of 5 children: Roland, deceased; Darren, Janelle, Denise, and grandchildren Logan, Sabrin, Ella, Corinne, Wyatt, Lola, Bodie, Vera, and great-grandchildren Violet and Colette. They enjoyed spending time with their family and attending all of the events and activities of their grandchildren, even providing daycare for their great-grandchildren one day a week. The family will honor and celebrate Dana and Paula with an upcoming family dinner. Redmond receives State Democratic Party Award. Springfield. DeWitt County Democratic Party Chairman Terry Redmond recently received the Party Builder Award for his work with the state and local Democratic Party and organizations. The award was presented on August 13th at the annual Democratic County Chairs Association brunch in Springfield, with an estimated 3,000 attendees. Loretta Durbin, wife of U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, was also a Party Builder honoree for her work with the Illinois Women's Institute for Leadership. Redmond has served as county chairman of the Democratic Party for more than 30 years. He also serves as state central committeeman for the 15th Congressional District of the Democratic Party of Illinois. In his remarks at the award ceremony, Redmond shared his background as the son of a working-class union family. His mother was a union steward for the Machinists Union, and his father was a member of Laborers Local 362. Terry was also a union member, most recently with the Teamsters Protect Division, until his retirement from the Illinois Department of Transportation. Among his other accomplishments, Redmond served on the Wapala Village Board for more than 10 years and has worked to ensure safe and affordable housing for disabled adults, protect the Mahomet Aquifer, and develop a wind farm in DeWitt County. Redmond was a accompanied to the award ceremony by his wife Camille and children Echo, Shalia, and Logan. Now, report from the Clinton Fire Department. An incident report to the public. On August the 15th at 11:08, Clinton Fire Department was dispatched to what was said to be a fully engulfed camper fire at Weldon Springs State Park Campground. Clinton Fire Department responded with 4 companies and 12 firefighters. Also responding to aid Clinton firefighters were Moroa Fire Department, Wapala Fire Department, Kennedy Fire Department, and Waynesville Fire Department. First arriving company found DeWitt Ambulance caring for subjects and a bus motorhome that was not engulfed, but fire inside that required interior fire attack. Firefighters had the fire under control with 10 minutes and prevented spread and further loss to the property. There were no injuries and no other property loss. Clinton firefighters were back in the station on this hot day at 13.42 hours. And now, Wishing You the Best This School Year by Billy McMacken. By now, nearly all of our schools across DeWitt County are back in session. Buses are rolling, hallways are buzzing, and stadium lights will soon be shining on Friday nights again. It's one of the most exciting times of the year, and on behalf of our newspaper family, I want to wish students, teachers, and parents all the very best in the school year ahead. For the students, may this year be full of discovery, growth, and the kind of memories that will last long after the final bell rings. Work hard in the classroom. Take pride in your activities, and know that the lessons you learn today will carry you far into the future. Whether you're a kindergartner carrying a backpack for the first time, or a senior preparing for your final year, you are building something important with every step. For the teachers, thank you for your dedication, your patience, and the energy you bring into the classroom each and every day. You are shaping not only young minds, but also future leaders, neighbors, and citizens. Your work makes a lasting difference, even if you don't always see it right away. And for parents, your support, encouragement, and sacrifices don't go unnoticed. From helping with homework at the kitchen table to driving across the county for practices and games, you are the backbone of this journey. Schools are stronger because families like yours are invested in them. We also want to remind our readers that these newspapers are here to tell the story of your school year. We welcome your submissions, story ideas, photos, sports results, and snapshots of school activities. Coaches, please send us your scores. Parents, if you capture a great action photo or a game or a concert, share it with us. We want our pages filled with the life of our communities, and that starts with you. This fall, the pages of our newspapers will be filled with the energy of Friday night football, the sound of marching bands, cross-county meets, volunteer matches, theater performances, and all the other activities that make small-town life so rich. We'll do our best to be there, but we can't be everywhere. That's why we count on you, our readers, to help us tell these stories. And finally, I'll add a simple reminder. Please support your local newspaper. Subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe. Advertise and encourage local businesses you know to advertise. Every bit of support helps us keep publishing the stories that matter most. Your stories. Your support keeps our reporters in the stands, our photographers on the sidelines, and our pagers full of local life. Here's to a safe, successful, and rewarding school year for everyone. We can't wait to share it with you in the pages of your hometown newspaper. Bill McMacken is the owner of the Clinton Journal. And now an article by Roger Jose. Putting America First. We cannot put America first if we put first our party, worse yet, if we dare to put a dictator first. How then do we put America first? The answer is simple, but the path is most difficult. We put America first by protecting its values as a nation. One of those valuable instruments is the Constitution. The other is what America offers. It offers liberty and equitable justice. If it were not for these factors, our immigrant ancestors probably would not have been attracted to come to this country. Regarding the Republicans presuming to put America first, I am concerned. I am concerned as I would be over a friend about to make a dangerous choice. Even if they are right and I am mistaken, my concern would still be there, but with a willingness to accept correction. The same acceptance I would expect from any, regardless of their ideology. The path toward wisdom is to listen, to learn, to change for the better. Both my maternal and paternal sides of my family were strong, solid Republicans. That is how I was raised. Nixon and Ford got me wondering. Bush was the last straw. I changed to Democrat. It is only of late I finally settled in as an independent. Is this an indication of indecisiveness? Colorfully called fickle. I prefer to see it as making educated choices. I can see value in both of the major parties. I can agree with an argument, but not necessarily the way it is presented. That which rankles me the most are the accusations between parties regarding parties. To me, that is generalizing. One might hear it said, Republicans have always tried to cheat, or that Democrats ignore the facts. There is good and bad on both sides, but it is the individual and the merits of the argument that should have our attention. Regarding the mudslinging that often goes on in such arguments, I find them useless. Accusations that require countless hours of investigation to prove is a waste of time, such as Hillary Clinton's emails, or distorted and false claims designed to distract, such as the Haitian immigrants eating people's pets, are uncalled for. I would not trust anyone who stooped to these tactics. Politics should exclusively deal with our needs and welfare. It affects our future and future generations. It is a serious matter that should not allow frivolous distractions. A Democrat, well-grounded in certain areas, should be evaluated according to the merits of the proposal and argument. The same goes for any Republican. Go by facts, not appearances. Certain things work better under a conservative agenda and others under a liberal agenda. Compromise helps to make our system more equitable. It goes without saying that once politics cares more for the people, the better off we are. And for this to occur, the people must be in charge, never an authoritarian. But none of this is realized under the MAGA Republic. Abraham Lincoln began the Republican Party under a special need aimed toward a good purpose. It has devolved in many areas, yet kept certain useful qualities. Be that as it may, there should not be debates that question either party by name only. Concentrate on the objective and the means of any and all policies as put forth by each party. After saying what I have about generalizing, the following may sound hypocritical, but MAGA does operate unified as a cult. MAGA Republic cows down to the threats of one man. MAGA ostensibly serve the bidding of one man, regardless of the potential harm this causes. A whole different book of rules, be they explicit or implicit, is followed by MAGA Republicans. As a unified cult, MAGA can be called a republic that defies any laws and regulations that do not fit its agenda, blocks any and all who resists its presumed right to rule through threats and manipulation. It does not serve. It is to be served. Cults ostensibly follow one man. There is no choice or even free will. Any ruler who thinks he owns the people is not working for the people. True Republicans are not like that. To me, it seems so strange that there are those who were friends who have pulled apart over political views. Our great country developed and prospered because of those who came from various countries and thus backgrounds. They were able to work together to survive and prosper. This nation is great by virtue that these differences were able to meld into formidable collection of communities, forming states to work harmoniously as a nation. It is these differences that created this nation's invincibility. It can only fail from within. Therefore, let us find ways to remain united, letting no man rip us apart. Communities are being ripped apart due to this illegal deportation scheme of Mr. Trump's. More on this below. Our states are being ripped apart due to politics and disastrous storms without FEMA assistance or federal aid. Our economy is being ripped apart due to these insane arbitrary tariffs and deportation of construction and farm workers. We are now left out of world trade. The job market is getting much worse and recession looms over the horizon. Manufacturing is falling apart and big businesses move to other countries. The tourism business is dead and countless businesses going bankrupt. You cannot prove me wrong. The proof is conspicuous. Look at food prices and closed businesses. And this is only a small part. It is felt across our country and abroad. I return to discuss deportation as promised. Deporting immigrants affects a delicate economic balance. Less of a labor force produces higher costs and lower profits, less produce harvested, less world trade, and less need for transportation to warehouses and stores that hurts us all. Fewer products to sell will reduce one's choices and downsizes business and outlets. Now that they are deporting U.S. citizens just because of their ethnic backgrounds, fear increases across the board. As with all authoritarian regimes, people are not allowed rights. ICE breaks countless laws and is still encouraged to spread terror. This is all unconscionable. Roger Joyce is a lifelong Clinton resident. Clinton Journal Letter Policy. The Clinton Journal accepts responsibly written letters covering topics of interest to our readers. Letters must be the original works of their senders. The journal does not publish anonymous letters. Letters submitted for publication must include the name of the author, address, and telephone number. Addresses and telephone numbers will not be published. The editor and manager reserve the right to edit letters for length and or content and publish letters using any journal platform, that is, print newspaper, website, or other electronic delivery method. Readers should keep in mind that letters published are the opinions of their authors, are not news reports, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this newspaper's, its staff, or its advertisers. The journal does not certify information used in letters, but will remove any passages it considers potentially libelous. Election letters. The journal will accept letters from private citizens endorsing candidates or ballot measures. Candidates must purchase political advertising. Senior Newsline. Save Money at the Habitat Restore by Matilda Charles. It's that time of year again. Summer is fading, and it's time to start thinking about what cold weather might bring, as well as revisiting the parts of the to-do list that didn't get completed during the summer. In my house, that incomplete portion of my list includes painting the stairs before management notices the peeling issues and issues a fine and having new window installed in the living room. The reasons for not having done those things yet are the price of a can of paint, $42 a gallon, when I needed less than a quart, and over $500 for the window, installation not included. Do you see a pattern here? And yes, it's the price of nearly everything nowadays that keeps so many of us taking care of things that we should. However, I have just learned of a way to get at least a few things on my list. the Habitat for Humanity ReStore. They have 900 locations across the country, and one of them just happens to be near me. Started in 1976, Habitat for Humanity is the group that will build homes around the world that are then sold for affordable amounts to low and moderate income families, improve and repair houses for seniors so they can stay in their homes, provide disaster response, and much more. Their Habitat ReStores are loaded with good quality used merchandise that they take in with donations. It not only keeps household items out of landfills, it allows people to buy those items at very reduced prices. They carry used furniture, building materials, appliances, housewares, and so much more, and some of it donated by corporations. To find locations near you, go online to www.habitat.org. Click shop and then click Habitat ReStores. Put in your zip code. And now, Cooking Big, the Culinary Corner with Chef Roger Jose. Welcome to my little corner of culinary delights. Having covered cooking for one or a few, I extend this article to include cooking big for small quantities. To prepare food in large amounts gives us greater freedom of choice and saves time and money in the long run. To cook or prepare food for just a few people does not mean one must suffer frozen TV dinners, canned goods, or processed packaged meats as their primary source of food. Vegetables such as potatoes, carrots, and onions keep well. Basic ingredients such as flour and sugar keep very well provided you keep pests away. Grains and legumes also keep very well. Recipes with these as primary ingredients is common. However, a healthy diet requires more. Fresh milk and cream are best for drinking and cooking. However, powdered milk and dry creamers can be used if you feel that fresh milk will spoil too soon. Even potatoes can be bought in the dried form. Keep in mind that not all dried products work the same as fresh in cooking. Read the instructions on the label carefully. However, meat is a different matter. Salt pork and dried beef can only be used in limited ways. For example, salt pork is good for pork and beans, but not for pulled pork, sliced pork roast, or for sausage making. Fresh meats can be prepared in such a way as to be used in small quantities. Let us take chicken breast, for example. Either in the roasted or raw form, fillet the chicken breasts. Using a meat hammer or a pounder, flatten the breast between the wax paper to a quarter of an inch or a little less. Slice into strips about half an inch wide. What you do not use immediately, wrap individual slices in wax paper and wrap this bundle in freezer paper or use a qualified plastic bag and freeze. In this way, you can purchase a whole chicken or roast and use only the amount you need over several months. Before onions go bad, they can be chopped, diced, minced, and then dried or frozen for further use as needed. Do not ignore the need to know which items require preliminary preparation before freezing or drying. If you chose freezing, always be sure to freeze the prepared food in divided portions. This prevents them from freezing into a lump. Knowing certain procedures and forms of cooking helps one to know what to use, how to fabricate it, and proportion sizes needed. For example, meats that have been prepared in thin, narrow strips is best for stir-frying. Small cubes of meat, onion and potatoes are great for soups and stews. The whole secret in this is careful pre-planning and hold to a plan. In the future, I might do an article or two for demonstrating typical cooking procedures that I find great for small portion cooking. Cook fresh whenever possible. Until next time, peace to all. A strong crowd visited the Community Resource Fair hosted this week by the DeWitt County Friendship Center. The fair included services and vendors from DeWitt and surrounding counties. The fair also had snacks, prizes, restaurant gift cards, and basket giveaways. Clinton Community YMC also conducted some demonstration classes. This is Pat signing off for today and hoping that I will be back with you again next week. Have a good day.